Okay, I'm going to ask another question, although Yoram did remind me of something that I was going to ask, which I won't because I do want to get out to the audience. But in broadening the discussion, at some point, somebody might work into their answer talking about the Arab League Peace Initiative and the impact of what's going on in Gaza on using that as a basis of discussion. I'm going to go to that gentleman there, and then this gentleman there, and then this gentleman there.
My name is Richard Flitnick. I'm the director of the U.S. Office of TELEM, the Israeli Information Center for Human Rights and Occupied Territories. What I wanted to ask you, could be, I think, for anyone on the panel, is how you recommend that the Obama administration, I hope, would move this situation towards one where Israel takes greater care for its responsibility in general for the civilians in Gaza. I think there's no question that the ongoing Qassam attacks gave Israel the right to respond militarily. I think there is a lot of question as to whether or not the operation has sufficiently safeguarded the rights of civilians in Gaza. We don't really know because Israel is not allowing foreign NGOs or, for the most part, foreign media into the strip, so it's hard to say exactly what was warranted and what wasn't. But it does seem to me that was the case. And also, of course, before that, the ongoing siege of Gaza that really crippled the infrastructure and made it so that an attack like this would really be devastating. On some level, it seems like the civilians in Gaza have gotten lost in the fight between Israel and Hamas. And I'm wondering what you all would recommend to the Obama administration to change that state of affairs.
Thank you, Mitchell. Chad, you want to start?
As a matter of fact, thank you. First of all, B'Tselem is a fantastic organization, and that question is right on target. I'm trying to actually get something published about that right now. The question that I think everybody is asking in the world when they're demonstrating and throwing their shoes at our consulates and our embassies and Egyptian embassies, and not so much, I haven't heard of any stories of people throwing their shoes at the Israeli embassy. It's interesting. The outrage that people seem to be feeling towards the United States, I think, it's certainly not based on support for Hamas. It's based on the seeming lack of empathy, the seeming lack of concern that Americans have towards the civilian population in the Gaza Strip. It's one thing to say that Israel is responsible. It's another thing to say Hamas is responsible. Well, the point is that regardless of whether Hamas is responsible or Israel is responsible, the point of the matter is that there are 3,600 Palestinian wounded, many of whom are going to die in the next several days, and there are over 900. We're talking about 50 to 100 people being killed on a daily basis. And we've got anywhere from 25-30% to 50% being civilians. We don't know how many are non-combatants. So, you know, you can kill a police officer, for example, but if he's not involved in any way or form in militant activity or not part of the Azadin and Qassam brigades, he's not a combatant. And so the fact of the matter is that if the situation was reversed and we were seeing this kind of bloodshed on Israel, Americans would be out in the street. We would be volunteering to go to Israel. Doctors would be flying. El Al would be packed, and Continental Airlines would be packed with doctors flying to Israel to help, as it should be, as we should. But when it's happening on the Palestinian side, there's like a deathly. I mean, think about it. That in American media, the most empathic response to the civilians in Gaza has come from Jon Stewart and The Daily Show. That's the most empathic. Not from any reporter on CNN, on MSNBC, not on any reporter from Fox, ABC, CBS. It's interesting that that's the voice, that's what's being heard outside of the United States. And I think that the first thing President Obama is going to have to do, one of the first, regardless of what his policy is going to be, he can adopt the policy Reif has recommended, he can adopt the policy I recommend, it doesn't matter. The first thing he's got to do is show that Americans actually care about those people. And we can immediately begin working to try to save the lives of the 3,600 that are wounded. We can try to immediately begin to provide services. We can get a military ship off the coast. We can try to start providing hospital services. We can allow the Norwegians and others to set up hospital camps inside the Gaza, inside the Sinai Peninsula, right outside of Gaza, in order to treat the wounded while addressing Egypt's legitimate national security concerns about allowing 1.5 million Palestinians to flee into Cairo. There are a number of ways, if we cared, there are a number of ways that we could save the lives of a lot of people and show them that America actually cares about them, and show them that America actually cares about their lives.
Good point.
Andrew wants to come in, and Yoram, did you say?
I just said a good point. I totally agree.
Okay.
My position is complicated. I have to. I want to say I want to save more lives in the future. This is my long-term strategy. Of course, I care for the people today, and if you can save lives today and help people who suffer today, no question about that.
I think the very first thing the United States needs to do is to stand up for the principles and values of the United States, which are applied to everywhere else in the world except for the Middle East. And that means that when it comes to issues of human rights and humanitarian law, to apply them evenly and equally in this area. Unfortunately, the United States, along with the UK, my own country, and various others in the Security Council, stripped from the draft resolution, which was put forward by the Arab side, was a very good draft, three very important points. The first was a call for the immediate lifting of the blockade on Gaza, which had been going on for 18 months. The second was an insistence on the protection of civilians. That was removed by the United States from the draft. And the third was respect for international humanitarian law and for international law in general. These were very important principles which were there in the draft. The draft that was passed was much weaker, and frankly I'm astonished that Mr. Olmert thought that it was something that he couldn't live with, because he had all the wriggle room that he needed in order to be able to continue the military operation if he wanted to be able to do so. But let's leave that aside. The issues ultimately are protection, respect for IHL, and accountability. If one doesn't have accountability when there are breaches, whether it be by the Hamas people or by Israelis, and mistakes are made, then you don't respect the rule of law. And Israel is a state of the rule of law. And I think that that undermines its values, and it undermines the standards which it preaches to others.
While I agree that the U.S. should take a clear moral stand on this, and I think we will see this, and I think we are starting to hear noises from Obama's side in that direction. To be honest, I'm not terribly optimistic that this will change anything, for two reasons. One, from the Hamas side, they have no real incentive to be more careful in exposing the civilian population, and indeed they do benefit from that, and indeed they politically capitalize on it, and there's no real pressure on them to stop it. And on Israel's side as well, they know at the end of the day, irrespective of the moral and other statements that are made, when it comes to the cold-headed policy calculations that Yoram mentioned, they will not pay a real political price. So I'm not terribly optimistic that any of this will change. The question becomes, again, how do you make sure this does not happen in the future? This is not repeated. We're in a situation where, in the Middle East, if a conflict starts of this sort starts, it will have high civilian casualties. So we have to be more preemptive in our approach to this. And this is where I think, in some ways, and again here I guess I agree with Yoram, is while it's hard not to be caught on in the ongoing daily events of the day, we have to start thinking more strategically. The real challenge is not what's going to happen in the next week, how this is going to end. The real challenge is what's going to happen afterwards, in the medium to long term. This is the real challenge facing the Obama administration, and I think this is where they will have a chance to depart from the Bush administration, from the Bush approach, and stamp their mark on the region. It has to start with statements, obviously. It has to start with clarity in terms of expressing their desire for a peace process, but also it has to go beyond that, and it has to look at the complex regional dimensions, Yoram mentioned that we have to start with Syria. I strongly disagree. At the end of the day, if anything was shown from this conference, is that the Palestinian conflict will continue to be at the heart of the issues in the region. And if we don't move to resolve that fast, then Syria can only go that far in its peace talks with Israel before it starts getting pressure not to go all the way. And Syria as well will be using the Palestinian card as a negotiating card vis-a-vis the United States, so we're not really creating a stable situation there. We can theoretically move on the Syrian-Palestinian track in parallel. That's theoretical. My experience, whether these are in terms of the Israelis or the Americans, neither side has the political or the diplomatic depth or capacity to manage two full-scale tracks, and there has to be prioritization. My view, the Palestinians has to go first, not necessarily hoping that we're going to resolve it in 6 months or a year, but at least steps have to be made to show that we're serious about resolving it. The most obvious step, I think, in the short term would be ensuring a settlement freeze. This will send a signal to the Palestinians that Israel is serious about peace and the U.S. is serious about pressuring Israel. On the Syrian track, I just one last moment. We have to keep in mind that Syria is not only about the Golan, but it's a much more complicated game. Syria will leverage the Golan to get other diplomatic gains.